Welcome to the show, Five Star Fam. I'm AJ, and this is Mark. And wherever it is you get your pods, subscribe, share, and leave us a good rating.
This segment is sponsored by Thinking Man Tavern, a cozy Decatur neighborhood pub. Grab a tasty beverage from a wide variety of selections and a plate of something delicious from the menu. To go, check out Thinking Man Tavern.
Welcome back to another Five Stripe Weekly episode. And yeah, it's a very kind of reminiscent a little bit in a sense where, yeah, you know, some individual skill is saving the ass of Atlanta United. But definitely Atlanta United, 10 men. There is a lot of grit, a lot of kind of that ability to stick into games, stay in the game, and fight for the badge. And that is something you like to see. Now, the individual errors slash team errors slash just defensive pretty much not work from the midfield and defense definitely left a lot to be desired in this match. But a dramatic end and back-to-back games at the Benz where there is drama. And, kind of a good thing to a degree. It's better than, a loss. It's better than anything in the alternative. Definitely getting a result here where it looked grim. We all walked away happy, I'd say, just to say the least. But yeah, it starts off pretty well. Jose Martinez, he picks up a loose ball from some good pressure up high. A terrible back pass. And Jose Martinez is into space. And he scores one from outside the box, which is kind of a rare one for Jose Martinez a little bit.
Sure.
Definitely always his MO, but really brave with the shot that he took, basically, is up in the middle of the net. And so nice early lead for Atlanta United, and I think that's where the players stop playing, and that's essentially where Atlanta United, maybe they saw the 0-3 from Montreal, and they're thinking, oh, this one's in the bag, this one's easy, no big deal. We switch off, and you can't switch off in this league. Basically, the margins are small, and we switch off for just enough. So from a corner, Brooks Lennon, he passes it back, and it's a little bit short. But essentially, our midfield tries to do a little bit too much. Probably tries to continue the play instead of maybe just safely kicking it out, and it's not offside because it's in their half, and we have, we're pretty much up against it when two guys are going in on our goal, and pretty much all of our defense is still trying to step up for some reason. Very, very weird. And definitely a lot of mental errors here that we need to stamp out, because this is just not good enough. And some have said that Guzan should have done better here. I think people are ragging on Guzan. I will rag on Guzan when he deserves it, but he doesn't deserve it here. There's he's basically has a 2-on-1. He's got no choice. He's got to make a decision.
And it's one of those things where I guess it just looks bad. I guess that's why people are going off about it, because it's this. And so I wasn't able to make it to the game. And so, when I see the reactions online, I'm expecting some huge error. Brad Guzan did not make an error. He was in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are. It's funny because I feel like I almost not forced necessarily, but I end up taking this position of defending Guzan just because the reactions, whenever there seems to be an opportunity, I guess, to criticize him, it just comes off over the top for me. This is not, I don't know. I'm not sure what people are expecting any keeper in the world really to do in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. You're on a 2-on-1. the percentages of them that are the ability for them to not score is very, very low here. Like, if they didn't score, it would be like Jossi Zarda's shocking level of missing. But I don't know if you
Oh my gosh. Jeez. Yeah. It was harder to miss.
Yeah, it was definitely harder to miss on that one. But anyway, if you haven't caught that miss, catch it somewhere on Twitter, maybe. But it is, absolute shocker there. But it's basically a tap in. You know, there's nothing that Guzan could do. And that's where it pretty much all unraveled. There's very much, a bit of a kind of malaise that kind of starts happening. Maybe the shocking level of how our team pretty much defended that just led to the team kind of whatever it was. It just wasn't good enough. And two subsequent goals that. I mean, they weren't avoidable, but it definitely just allowed Montreal to get completely in the game, where for the first 20-25 minutes, they were not in the game. And, with that, we're down 3-1. So at the half, we make a change, and Dom Dwyer, he comes up top, but not at the half. But, yeah, he does come on later on in the 60th-something minute. But we do make changes at the half where, not only because Alan Franco, he had an injury. So George Campbell came in, but Ronald Hernandez came out. Brooks Lennon went backward. And, you had Thiago Almada come in as well, where, I mean, we had him as starting. I argue he probably should have started, probably a little probably hungrier maybe to make some things happen, but totally fine. It works out.
It's also interesting, the George Campbell for Alan Franco. Now, of course, after the match, he would say that he felt something in his knee. First of all, I hope he's okay. And I guess we just have to kind of take his word for it, but I would not be surprised if this is just a kind of cover for the fact that he's not playing well. Like, Alan Franco is not playing well to start this season. He was not playing well at the beginning of last season as well. And I just think that's kind of a worrying trend. Like, you would expect, because he's the most senior center back that we have, so like, you would expect him, and with the price tag that he came with, you would expect him to be the most reliable. He hasn't proven to be that so far. So in 2 weeks time, I'm very curious to see who the starting center backs are going to be, because I think Campbell has every bit of right to start as much, if not more, than Franco right now.
Yeah, at the moment, form is definitely in Campbell's corner for sure. And so definitely something in terms of Franco, it's been a little bit rough, and that's okay. It's early. Hopefully he can just really get rid of those little individual errors that he has sometimes. But Campbell has been a little bit more steady for sure. And onto that Dom Dwyer substitution. Yeah, it seemed like it was just more up top, two up top. And it seemed like, okay, well, we changed the shape, see what we could do. I was curious to see what we were going to, service-wise, get in there. And unfortunately, as quickly as he got on, he pretty much stamped his way out with that horror tackle. Red card worthy for sure. And,
it is. No argument.
Yeah, it's a classic case of trying to do too much, and because he didn't play last match, and so probably he's trying to prove like, I deserve to get some minutes, and now he will miss those matches, a few matches. So
I think that's probably worthy of three, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a bummer, but we do have some reinforcements coming in, and so we will allude to that and talk about that at a later part of the show. But that almost seemed to be the catalyst a little bit in our comeback. It kind of woke us up and like, oh shit, yes, we need to play at home, or we're gonna risk pretty much pissing off a lot of fans. And hopefully that was the case anyway, because that's how it felt like in the stadium a little bit. And that's what the response was from the team. And that seemed to be good. And in that sense, you know, it took a little bit of time before we were able to maybe truly get back into the game. But 85th minute, Thiago Almada from a corner that's a clearance, not cleared well enough. Thiago Almada, he gets that ball. He skins a couple dudes. There's a diving tackle, but he's able to elude it. And he's falling down, but he is able to stroke that baby top bins past that keeper. It is unstoppable, really. I mean, it's up for MLS Goal of the Week as well. Worthy of that. It is quite a debut goal in MLS for a player that, I mean, let's be real. You know, let's say this. In the world kind of, I think it was like U20 or in that territory of players, he, I forget which publication, but basically he was in that top 10. Like, that's insane. Like, that's the level of talent that Thiago Almada is. And yeah, he definitely proved it in this first goal. He was quite clinical with you know, his feet and that finish. But you know, that definitely it woke the stadium up. We definitely were definitely hooting and hollering a lot louder, a lot more rowdy and proud, and the comeback was on. And that's that was much more apparent. And yeah, that third goal, the free kick won by Jose Martinez, where arguable high kick, fans were arguing for a red card, probably not, yellow card probably the best call there, but that sets it up for the drama for Brooks Lennon to step up for this free kick. Yeah, 35 yards out or so, like pretty far out. Thiago Almada is, he's stepping over too, but he pretty much, yeah, is kind of shooed away by Brooks Lennon, who is the more senior player at the moment. And yeah, he now maybe didn't put it in the corner, but he, yeah, maybe not a screamer, but it's definitely well struck. It is on goal, and the keeper probably should have done better, but you know, I think he probably should have took one strong hand upward, maybe. But I mean, I'm not a professional goalkeeper, so you know, he could do whatever he wanted, but it seemed like the wrong move, two-handed, and yeah, pretty much not a strong enough, you know, strong enough hands to get it out from you know, from the parry. Parries it into his own goal, unfortunately. And yeah, the fans are in pandemonium. It is absolutely scenes. It's just unbelievable. I mean, you know, definitely one of those where is it replicable? Probably not. but it is something that provides for quite a moment. And not since apparently against Montreal have Atlanta United scored three from outside of the box since Montreal. So definitely, yeah, definitely an insane stat there that is pretty cool. All three goals were from outside of the box. And I think we need to see more of that, where we pop off shots, you know, and not just from Marcelino Moreno. But yeah, any thoughts on, you know, kind of the goals and what we just kind of went over?
Yeah, I mean, I think here's my thing about Atlanta United right now. Like, the individual talent is not an issue, right? And so, like, you know, I think that's the most obvious with Almada coming on and making the difference. You know, really quality goal. Again, as you alluded to, probably should have started. The Lennon free kick was interesting. I mean, I think he struck it well. I think there's good dip on it. In terms of, again, yeah, I'm also not a professional goalkeeper, but I think he could have taken a step. That was what was weird to me, is that he was planted where he was, and was slow to react, didn't take a hop step, you know, to give yourself that base to really push off and get a good save in. You know, yeah, going after it with two hands instead of one strong hand, or, you know, I just, yeah, I think he could have done better. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, you take it. You're not going to complain too much. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So, like, with Montreal's lineup, I will say, like, they played a stronger lineup than I thought. Yeah, so, and, you know, credit to them, even though they've played twice as many games as Atlanta, they still managed to, I mean, obviously gave us a hell of a game. The difference in XG was 2.94 for Montreal to 0.71 for Atlanta. Like, that's, you know, that's probably not repeatable, but, you know, at the end of the day, that's not what, you know, the XG doesn't matter as the actual score. So yeah, at the end of it, I guess, because I was following along, you know, I kind of had mixed feelings. And what you were kind of saying before in terms of, you know, individuals brilliant saving Atlanta's ass. Yeah, I mean, sure. And, you know, I was definitely feeling the same way at this time. But I was listening to somebody earlier, and they kind of made this point, and I agree, that, like, elite teams have individuals, right, that, you know, have those moments, and it's repeatable, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. consistent. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that's, like, the quality is not an issue. For, like, we know this team has the quality, and some of those players still haven't played. Like, Sosa just got his first minutes. We still haven't seen Ibarra this season, you know what I mean? And so there's still more to come. But I guess, like, from what I can tell, based on the goals, certainly, any, you know, the overall, I guess, flow of the match, I think that structure is an issue for Atlanta United right now more than anything else. And I'm curious as to, you know, obviously you saw the whole 90 minutes. Do you think the structure is still a work in progress for the team?
Yeah, I think the structure is a work in progress. I wouldn't say it's maybe quite an issue. There is, I think, a lack of cohesion because, yeah, there is a lot of chopping and changing so far. You know, the best lineup that we probably could field out there has not played together, and we still have not played with all three DPs pretty much on the pitch. And so that's that's a thing too that you know, we probably won't until a little bit of time either. And so that's, you know, that's the frustrating bit about this is there's a lot of pieces that are very, very talented, and it's just how can they play the team game, because that's the most important part here, is that in between the lines, there needs to be good partnerships. And so far, it's kind of a wait and see who is the best, not only center back pair, not only the best midfield, you know, triumvirate maybe, or pairing, or, you know, the, in terms of forward line, you know, who the best three there are too. So, and then also, of course, you know, Ronald Hernandez, getting most of the starts at right back, and then kind of a who's at right wing too. It's, there's just a lot of unknown at the moment, and so it's understandable that there is a little bit of the you know, lack of cohesion, but also who's starting from match to match. And that's okay, it's very early on, people are coming back from injury slash, you know, visa stuff slash etc etc, and hopefully we can get that kind of squared away as soon as possible after Luis Araujo comes back, that we have more of a pick itself type of 11, because that's when I think teams really, they know each other inside and out, and that way they can start to play with a lot more chemistry, which is, I think, super important in really putting a run of results together that isn't going to be, you know, super inconsistent. So, you know, I think that that's what Montreal has in this over us, is that, you know, they've played with this 11 several times. And so, you know, when the chips were down, they were able to come back and get a strong lead. But, yeah, they shit the bed, that's for sure. And so, you know, we'll take that any day of the week. Yeah, I will take luck over skill. You know,
sure, you have to be a little bit lucky.
Yeah. And so, you know, there is that, I think, it being a fortress, the 10 games that we are undefeated at home definitely may it continue, because it was definitely in jeopardy in this match. And it's something that, we definitely left it really late.
Yeah.
But we were able to persevere and be persistent and, definitely pulled out a result. So that is good. But, final thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I'll go back to kind of what you were saying at the beginning about the grit of the team. And I think it's evident, you know, I think they're playing for the manager. You know, now I will say, you know, we saw, I think, signs of this at the beginning of Ence's tenure, you know, like the grit, the determination. And of course, we learned what happened and the team kind of wore down. So, you know, of course, we're assuming that it's different this time around. But it is good to see that toughness. And that's certainly a quality that LA United can use. I think, you know, in the past, it's a quality that we've needed more of. And so, yeah, you know, like, I think that at least is something to build on. And as you said, yeah, as the team gets healthier and we get a more cohesive 11, the results, I think, should come.
Yeah. It's early yet, but, any Pineda out people right now on the interwebs talking a little crazy right now, man, but give them the shot once they have all the players in tow playing together, and then we'll visit that conversation. But next up for Atlanta United, it will be April 2nd at DC United. They will be on the road for a bit of time before they get back to the Benz. Is also the international break this coming week and next week, so definitely that's a bit of time where we're all kind of twiddling our thumbs a little bit, just pining for some football. But anyway, we'll wrap a bow on that match and get to the news for this week. And it's official, there was a rumor from Tom Bogert that's pretty much said that LA United were very close on Sunday night to pretty much finalizing the deal for a loan for Mexican forward Ronaldo Cisneros. Not that Ronaldo, but he's from Chivas. He's definitely in terms of that, maybe much less, much more underwhelming probably than the real Ronaldo, but. In terms of body shape and all that, I mean, yeah, definitely seems like a little bit of a unit, a little bit as well. So, you know, definitely a specimen that hopefully he, can use his skills to help us. Now, he will be on loan through July 7th with an option to extend through the end of the 2022 season. With a purchase option as well. He will also occupy an international spot. He's a 25-year-old. Hasn't played a ton of minutes recently, but his last 19 appearances, he has 6 goals and 2 assists. So a decent return in the minutes that he does play. It is the second team in the Mexican second tier, though, so there is that caveat that he's not playing at the highest level in Mexico. But Carlos Bocanegra did say that we like his profile. He can play direct and stretch the opposition, and he has the versatility to play up top or on the wing as part of a front three. And so, yeah, definitely options and, you know, a different look than maybe what we're used to. What do you think? Is this a good move? Is this an underwhelming move? What do you think?
No, I wouldn't call it underwhelming. I think that it also kind of makes sense on the back of the reported Luca Martinez Dupuy rumors that, you know, of course, the team ended up not, pursuing that player any further at this time. But, he was a similar profile in terms of a tall striker, maybe target man kind of profile. And so in that sense, I think, you know, you give yourself another option in the short term, especially with Dwyer maybe out for a month now, depending on how long he gets suspended for. And, you know, it's this too. We haven't seen a whole lot of Jackson Martinez with the ones. And, you know, we kind of touched on this before, but...
Jackson Conway.
Yeah. Jackson Conway. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, not the former Atletico Madrid player.
No, yeah, right. Yeah. That'd be crazy. Jackson Conway. Yeah, we haven't seen a whole lot of Jackson Conway, and with the ones. And so, you know, I think we kind of touched on it here before. It's like, you know, how does the team view him? And to be honest, like, it's this bringing in this this profile player, especially one that's, I believe, he's 25 years old. You know, it's like, it definitely seems like direct competition for Conway. And, you know, maybe they don't see Conway's future with Atlanta United. I mean, who knows? You know, I'm not, you know, I don't have any insider information. But, you know, I think that it is telling that they're still looking to address the depth of striker. I mean, it makes sense, too. You know, like, I think that this is a prudent move. And you know, with it being a short-term loan, you know, you can they don't have to extend it, you know, past the summer. And you know, if he does play well enough, then cool, you have another option for the season.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah, definitely someone that can play in that front three that has more of an eye for goal, because yeah, it is that there is a little bit of the where you don't know how much Luis Araujo is going to be out. You need guys that can run in behind or offer in something a little bit different than, you know, I think that's what it is. You have Marcelino Moreno, who is best driving from deep. You have Thiago Almada, who probably is more of that creative playmaker slash maybe second striker in that sense, where, you know, just a little bit deeper. So, you know, if there's a ball over the top, if there's a one-on-one, you need guys that can finish the ball. And, you know, hopefully... Ronaldo Cisneros is that man for us, along with Jose Martinez, of course. So hopefully he plays well. We shall see. But moving on from that, as alluded to before, yes, as well, Thiago Almada is up for the MLS Goal of the Week on Twitter. So get there and vote on MLS so that, yeah, I think worthy winner for sure if he does get that nod. But yeah, as well, Brooks Lennon, he made the bench for the MLS Team of the Week. Definitely well deserved with that that free kick that was the equalizer. Now, yeah, I definitely applaud his resilience for sure, for you know, being mentally strong enough to you know, still have the cojones to, you know, just battle throughout the match, even though, you know, it was his ball that led to the error-ish. I mean, it was the rest of the team as well that still kind of definitely led to that first goal, all the errors that that led up to it. So it was definitely a team error along with the individual errors that that came along with it. But good to see Lennon get that. And yeah, as well for the, in terms of U.S. men's national team players, Miles Robinson has made that camp for the friendlies for the U.S. men's national team, as well as George Bello, our former player, of course. And Caleb Wiley and Tyler Wolf have made the U-20s for the U.S. youth national team. And, of course, Jose Martinez and Ronald Hernandez have made the Venezuelan national team as well. So, yeah, lots.
It's good. No, yeah, it's just interesting that so many Atlanta United players are going to the national team setups. I thought that Atlanta United was ruining football.
I know, right? Yeah, if you pay attention to U.S. men's national team Twitter, basically...
Which you don't have to. I don't recommend that. But
definitely don't recommend. But they just rag on Atlanta United for, oh, you aren't taking offers for Miles Robinson. Oh my God, you guys are ruining U.S. men's national team football. And it's just It's downright silliness, but
it's honestly, you know, because I've seen it's not just like the team itself. Like when Bello was contemplating his next move, and there were reports that he didn't really want to go to Belgium. You know, these people come out of the woodwork, like, oh, who does Bello think he is? Like, does he think he's Bundesliga level? You know, he needs to humble himself. He already has 2 starts in Bundesliga, yeah. So you know, he knew what he was doing, and he doesn't need to listen to people on the internet.
Right. It's his agent definitely had the best interest in mind, and yeah, I mean, he just started against Borussia Dortmund. I mean, yeah, I think I'd rather be starting against Borussia Dortmund than kind of Belgian sides. To be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all respect to Belgian leagues, but it's not the same level. So, but yep. So that's pretty much the news there, and pretty much the entire show. It's a short one this week, of sorts. Shorter, anyway. And so that's pretty much the entire show, except for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, what does the team need to work on in the international break? There's a lot to work on, for sure, if you look at it defensively and in midfield. Let us know what you think. We're curious what you have to say. And that's it for us today. Remember to subscribe to us if you haven't already, share this episode, and leave us a review and rating so we can pop up higher in your rankings. And for Mark, I'm AJ. Thanks so much for listening.